the economics of the union.
Don't miss the numbers, the news, and Kai's final note. Subscribe to the Marketplace podcast. Find it on iTunes or online at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. President Obama heads to Iowa and Arizona today to highlight American manufacturing after his State of the Union address last night. It was a speech that focused heavily on the economy.
Tonight, my message to business leaders is simple. Ask yourselves what you can do to bring jobs back to your country. And your country will do everything we can to help you succeed.
Specifically, President Obama proposed more incentives for U.S. manufacturing, better training for workers, and relief for struggling homeowners. Our Washington Bureau Chief John Dimsdale has more.
The president proposed tax breaks for manufacturers that make products in the U.S. and higher taxes on companies that outsource jobs. And he set a goal of using community colleges to train 2 million Americans with job skills needed by local businesses.
We haven't seen this amount of attention given to manufacturing by any president, at least for 25 years.
Scott Paul is executive director of the Alliance for American Manufacturing.
It gives me some hope that we can translate the ideas in this speech into some practical policy solutions that will help to grow jobs.
Obama also proposed refinancing millions of mortgages for struggling homeowners, saving them an average $3,000 a year. But University of Maryland finance professor Clifford Rossi says the idea is nowhere near enough to solve the housing problem.
From an economic impact standpoint, it's drop in the bucket.
Today, the president embarks on a 3-day tour of parts of the country hard hit by joblessness and foreclosures. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
We'll get the latest figures on pending home sales this morning. That's a measure of signed contracts for housing sales, even if the sales themselves haven't been finalized yet. It's supposed to give us an early look at the housing market, and economists are expecting to see a slight drop for the month of December. But Chris Ketchum of Harper's Magazine says none of that really matters because there's a big cloud hanging over the housing market called MERS, the Mortgage Electronic Registration Systems. And he says until MERS goes away or gets cleaned up, the market cannot recover. Chris Ketchum, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, first of all, explain MERS for the 95% of people out there for whom that is not an everyday word.
MERS was effectively a system for banks to transfer the ownership of mortgages electronically without having to register the ownership of those mortgages with local county recorder's offices.
Which they've had to do for all of time, right?
Centuries and centuries.
And MERS wasn't created until the late 90s, right before the housing bubble. And you write in your story that without the efficiencies of MERS, there probably would never have been a mortgage finance bubble.
That's right. What happened with MERS is that because there was a centralized electronic database, you could effectively take a mortgage loan and one lender could sell it to another lender, and then that lender could sell it to an investment bank, and the investment bank could then package it as a security, the mortgage-backed securities, and it could all be done very efficiently and easily. So yeah, MERS streamlined the whole process of, well, what became the mortgage finance bubble.
And now there are big questions about the legality of all of this, and the courts really are not in agreement yet about that.
No, it is a mess.
Can the foreclosures that need to happen in order to clear the housing market of all of the tangled up webs that exist in it right now, can those happen in this sort of cloudy state of MERS?
No, and until there is some sort of certainty in the court system about the legality of these loans and about the legality of the foreclosing entities, no, there will not be a resolution to the foreclosure crisis anytime soon.
Chris Ketchum is a reporter with Harper's Magazine. He's just written a big story for the latest issue about MERS. Chris Ketchum, thanks.
Hey, thanks a lot.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in overseas trading this morning, up across Asia and down across Europe right now. We're down about 0.5% in London. The Federal Reserve wraps up a meeting in Washington today, and economists are expecting some clarity about just how long the Fed will keep its low interest rate policy in place. Also, Apple announced yesterday it made $13 billion in profit last quarter. That was way more than analysts were expecting. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow lost 33 points to close at 12,675.
show Marketplace how much you like us. Stay connected to our hosts, reporters, and top stories on Facebook. Find us at facebook.com/APM Marketplace.
This week, a federal court is looking at whether a fashion designer can trademark the color red, specifically the red soles that are a signature feature of Christian Louboutin shoes. Sally Herships has more.
Tiffany has its blue, Hermes, orange. Why shouldn't Christian Louboutin have the red on the soles of its shoes trademarked?
The difference in this case is that the other single-color trademarks in fashion are for packaging rather than the product itself, but it's really very close.
Susan Scafidi is director of the Fashion Law Institute at Fordham. She says companies can trademark single colors, which is why Louboutin sued Yves Saint Laurent last year. YSL created four styles of red shoes with red soles. Louboutin was trying to protect the trademark it already had. But the case backfired. The judge questioned the trademark, and now Louboutin is fighting the decision in court.
The judge felt like fashion is, of course, a commercial activity, but is also very much like art. And because an artist needs to have a complete palette, he felt like a designer, too, needs to have a complete palette.
Including the color red. Scafidi says multiple color combinations, like Burberry's plaid or Gucci's green and red stripe, are still safe for the time being. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And finally, Travel and Leisure magazine has come out with a list of America's rudest cities. The top spots this year go to New York and Miami. Washington, D.C. comes in third. L.A. comes in fourth. And Boston comes in fifth. But the real puzzler on the list for me is number 19, San Diego. Must have been a rude seagull or something. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.